Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 10th of January, 2010. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Andy spoke on Grow and Go, and the readings are Luke 4, verses 14 to 21, and Acts 13, verses 47 and 48. They'll be read by Tim, and in a minute, he'll introduce the service. But sadly, his mic wasn't picking up very well this morning, so it's a bit quiet and fuzzy, I'm afraid. At the beginning of Andy's sermon, he mentions a Radio 4 programme, and as requested, a link to it is in the show notes over at minehead-baptist.com. The interview with Les Isaac starts at about 14 minutes into the programme. So let's go and join Tim as he's introducing the service.
Sometimes in modern church, we talk about mission statements and vision statements and putting on paper what we're about. And some people get a bit uncomfortable with that because they go, oh, it's bringing business speak into church. Well, I was introduced to a book a few years ago called Jesus, CEO, which is really analysing that most of good business practice actually originates in how Jesus dealt with people, which is really interesting analysis. And I suppose the earliest vision statement or mission statement was what Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah, and I thought we'd start with that this morning. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That was Jesus' mission statement. That's what he was about, and that's what he continues to be about through his body, which is us. In each generation, we have to recapture what that means and how we communicate that in the most effective way to those who are around us. And we're going to be exploring that over this whole term in different ways. But it's really good to sort of focus our minds and our hearts right at the beginning. I mentioned earlier Jesus' mission statement. Here's Paul's mission statement. It's quite simple. "This is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honoured the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. I said earlier that over this next few weeks, over this whole sort of period, we're going to be thinking about what our mission is, what our focus is, what our calling is as God's church here in Minehead. And it's exciting. Yeah. And we're going to be starting to unpack that in a moment or two.
I don't know if any of you were listening to Saturday Live with Fee Glover on Radio 4 yesterday morning. Yeah. Anyone? Yeah. Did you hear Les Isaacs, the founder of Street Pastors, being interviewed? Wasn't he good? I don't know, James, is it possible to make a link on our website to a Radio 4 programme? Would that be possible? This is a master. He can do anything, James. He really can. Well, at some point in the next few days, James will put a link on Minehead Baptist Church website to Radio 4, a programme Saturday Live, where Les Isaacs, the founder of Street Pastor, was being interviewed, and he said some really good things. And you'll be aware, I trust, that I and a few others in the town are working towards establishing a Street Pastor scheme here in Minehead. So if you want to hear the man himself just talk about it, then thank you, James, very much. Okay, lovely. I'd just like you just to... you've just greeted people around you. Just if you're comfortable with putting a hand on their shoulder, that's a sign of God's blessing. If you're not, don't worry. But if you are, let's take a moment to pray, shall we? Just pray for the person next to you. If you just lay your hand. This isn't a gimmick or anything that people do. We do this because we've just been singing about knowing the Lord and meeting the Lord and encountering the Lord and His goodness and His love. And we want that for ourselves, but don't we want that for the person sitting next to us? And it's just lovely to be prayed for too. So just in a moment of silence, just pray for the person next to yourself. And just ask for heaven's blessing to be upon them, that they may know the love of God. Lord, we pray for one another, that we may go deeper into you. We may know more of you and of your great love for us, that we may be more effective in the world. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm just going to read a few more passages of Scripture. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, I'm not particularly preaching from it, but just using it as an introduction this morning. Mark chapter 1 and the calling of the first disciples from verse 14. I'll read it to us. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So, Tim's introduced us to the thought about these Jesus' vision statement, if you like, Paul's vision statement. What is the vision that you have for your life? What is the vision that you have for your life? The vision that Jesus had for his disciples, the life of his disciples, is sort of encapsulated in these few words. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you like, that was something that Jesus had in mind, his vision for you and for me, for his disciples, not just those 12 that he selected from Galilee, but for you and me here today. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men and women and children and young people. I will make you fishers. Over the past 18 months or so, the leadership team here in this church have been prayerfully considering the vision that God has for us for the future at Minehead Baptist Church. Last year I did a sermon series entitled What Kind of Church is the Father Looking For? And more recently we asked everyone to study and consider from the book of Revelation, what is the Spirit saying to the church? And at the end of November, the leadership team had a further retreat, And at the beginning of December, we had a lovely evening here where we invited feedback from the fellowship groups and the wider congregation from their study series, What is the Spirit Saying to the Church? You see, we're trying to discern what God is wanting us to be, what God is wanting us to do. And through these various things, we're trying to discern the common threads that are emerging and seeking to allow these things to inform our thinking, to inform our decision-making about what kind of church God wants us to be tomorrow and in the years to come. And on the 26th of January, just in a few weeks' time, Tim and myself, on behalf of the leadership team, will be making a presentation and some recommendations to the church about possible ways forward. At this point, this morning, Tim has already said that over these next weeks and months, we're going to be looking more deeply at these things. But this morning, all I want to do is to introduce us to a very simple thought which encapsulates what we believe are the things that God has laid on our hearts about what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. And it's this. Thank you, James. Basically, two things. To build the church and to reach the lost. If you see them as sort of two, you know, the old-fashioned scales that used to, you put weights on one side and then whatever you were weighing in the other. If you see it a little bit like that, God wants us to build the church and to reach the lost. We may like to think of that same phrase in different ways. We might say, for instance, God wants us to be followers, disciples, but he also wants, and what does that mean? But he also wants us to be fishers. What does that mean? We may express it in another way. Some people write, when they talk about this sort of thing, they talk about maintenance and mission, maintaining the church and the mission of the church. Some of us don't like that word maintenance because it sounds, you know, it's almost a little bit like we're taking the church into the garage for a service just in order to keep the thing ticking over, in order to keep the thing going. And it smacks to many of us of just sort of maintaining what we are, which is a bit static. And the church isn't static, is it? The church is a movement, not a monument, someone said. And so maintenance has sort of got negative connotations. I prefer perhaps to think of it in these terms, about maturity and mission. And I'll say a little bit more about maturity in a moment. But again, those two bowls of the scales, maturity and mission. We may also express it in these terms, upward and outward. Now, this has got nothing to do with sort of growing taller or me growing wider. It is to do with us growing up towards God and out into the world. We can, whatever language we want to use, we are saying basically the same thing. Instead of outward and upward, we could say we're wanting to move deeper into the things of God. But as we move deeper into the things of God, that's what God is calling us to do in terms of building the church, moving deeper into God, and it's been so helpful this morning. Thank you, Tim. But also at the same time, moving further into the world in which we live. Whichever phrase we want to use, whichever one we're more comfortable with, we're saying the same thing. Building the church, building up the body of Christ, which is what I was talking about last week, building up the body and reaching the lost. And the little phrase that we've sort of come up with, if you like, which encapsulates all of this, which we want to become very familiar, we want this to become something we're very familiar with, and it's very easy for those of us that haven't got great memories, and it just complements all of this, these two words, grow and go. Would you say that with me? Grow and go. Now, that's not complicated, is it? It's very simple, and we'll be able to remember it, but we're wanting to say the same thing. We believe that God has called us in partnership with Jesus, who is the one who builds the church. Wasn't it Jesus who said, "I will build my church"? In partnership with Jesus, and in partnership with the Holy Spirit, is the one who empowers the church. We have been called to build the church, to strengthen the church, to build the church up in our faith, to build the church. And as I said last week, we are the body of Christ, and every member has a part to play in the building up of that body. But also, God has called us to go. That call of God is irrevocable. Jesus said, "Go." And so, well, at the same time as growing, on the one hand, Jesus is calling us to go, to be a people who go. And it's not that one is more important than the other. It's not that one is more weighty than the other. But the scales are balanced. It is as we grow, we go. And as we go into the world, we grow. Yes? Okay? It's quite simple. That's what we believe God is calling us to do. And this is encapsulated, isn't it? I'm using that word a few times this morning. It's sort of, yes, encapsulated. That's nice. It's a nice word. In the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, verse 18 onwards, where Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples." You see, you have the making of the disciples on the one hand, which is building the church, and going. And they are to be held in balance. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And so this very simple statement, but these two very important aspects of what the Lord is calling the church to be. So I want to look first briefly at growing. This is just an introduction, by the way, to the next few weeks. Jesus is calling us to grow. Jesus is calling you and me and us to grow. There are many passages that we could have looked at, we could have considered this morning. Just a couple. The first one, thank you, James, I'll just find it at the same time, Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at this a little bit last week. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." A second passage we might have looked at, and this passage is on the top of every agenda of the leadership team to remind us this is what we're about. "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." And I think that is our understanding of our call, who we are. And certainly for me, as a leader of the church, that is an understanding of my call, that I am here proclaiming, warning, teaching, with all wisdom I'm not sure about, in order that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. Paul understood that the call of God on his life was to bring people, the church, individuals and the church in general, to maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ, or spiritual maturity is the phrase that best describes where we're coming from. And that phrase, spiritual maturity, is pregnant, isn't it? Pregnant with meaning. Spiritual maturity is about conforming to Christ in holiness and godliness. That's about you being holy and me being holy and godly. It is about consuming the Word of God until it consumes us and shapes us. It is about our understanding of, appreciation of, and application of God's Holy Spirit. It is about growing the fruit of the Spirit and using the gifts of the Spirit. It is about knowing who we are in Christ and who we are not. See, the work of Jesus is so hampered in the world when we do not understand fully that we are children of God. It's about our accepting of our purpose in Christ. It's about accepting suffering as discipline. It is about loving God and submitting to His will, even when we don't understand it. It's about loving others, even those who are our enemies. It is about being careful how we live in the world. It's about trust and obedience. Do you know, so often I think we can paddle around. There's a danger that we can paddle around the edges of what it means to be a whole life disciple of Jesus. We are saved because salvation is not dependent on how good you or I are or on what we do or what we don't do. Hallelujah. Salvation is by faith, not by works. We are saved. But salvation is only the beginning, isn't it? When challenged, someone once said to me, "But God accepts me as I am." They've been a Christian for years. "But God accepts me as I am." And of course, the stock reply to that is, "Yes, He does. Hallelujah." But He doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature in Christ. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, we are saved by faith and by faith alone. Hallelujah. But God calls us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to grow, to mature in Christ. Too often we define what it means for us to be a Christian in our own likeness, don't we? And that is not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is when we conform to Christ in every aspect of our lives. That's when we get to spiritual maturity, conforming to Christ in every aspect of our lives. And every single one of us is still a work in progress. The question is, are we progressing? We are a work in progress. Are we progressing? Are we working towards spiritual maturity? Do you know, I'm not responsible for your spiritual maturity. Did you know that? Could you just turn to the person next to you and just say, "Andy is not responsible for my spiritual maturity." Could you do that? Just do that, please. All right? And then you can say, "And by the way, nor is Tim." And then you can say, "And by the way, nor are you." I am. Will you say to yourselves, you can say it out loud, "I am responsible for my own spiritual maturity." Yes. I do, however, with others in the church, have a shared responsibility. And that is, as far as we are able, to ensure that Minehead Baptist Church is a place where, if you want, you can grow increasingly into the person that Jesus wants you to be. Now, that is my responsibility, and I don't take that responsibility lightly. It means sometimes we have to make decisions that people don't like. But that is why that is at the root of every decision we make. That it is our shared responsibility. Tim, myself, the leadership team, it is our shared responsibility to ensure that this place, this meeting, week by week, and other meetings throughout the week, are places where, if you want to, you can grow increasingly into the person that Jesus wants you to be. That's our responsibility. So, we are to grow. Jesus wants us to grow into spiritual maturity. But we're also called to go. You know, the church will only grow numerically when we take what God has done in us into the world. When we take the light out from under the bucket and allow it to shine in the darkness. When we take the salt out of the kitchen, out of the salt shaker, and apply it to the world which is decaying and which has lost its God flavor. The world will not believe this wonderful gospel that we proclaim while the church remains in these four walls or in the privacy of your own life. We must go. Jesus said, go and make disciples. In fact, the true interpretation of that little phrase is, as you go, make disciples. As you go. So as we go about our ordinary daily lives, we go and make disciples of the people around us. So what might this mean for us? Well, briefly, four things. One, we want to ensure that every member, every one of us, male, female, young and old, understands that they are a missionary. Now, we may not all be evangelists, but we are all called to be witnesses of Jesus, of his death and his resurrection. Do you know, we don't have to go to Latin America to be a missionary. Minehead needs missionaries. The place where you live needs missionaries. Your neighbours, your work colleagues, your clients, my squash partners, whoever needs you and me to be a missionary. You and I are called to go. We might be the only Jesus these folks ever meet. Secondly, thank you, James. Sorry, it's not behaving itself. Secondly, the Hope Centre. The Hope Centre is a great example of when it is better to do mission in teams. The Hope Centre is not one person, but the Hope Centre is a team fulfilling the mission together. In some ways, because of the support they've received from us, for which they are so grateful, actually the Hope Centre is the mission of the whole church. Because we've supported them and you've supported them so well. There's a group in the church who have a concern to reach out to those who are on their own. You've heard about them this morning. We call it Fresh Horizons. There are others in the church who have a concern to reach out to children, to young people, to schools, to those in care homes, to families, to the nighttime partygoers, the unchurched, the dechurched, the bereaved, the poor, the wealthy, whoever. Sometimes where there is common concern, it may be more effective for us to develop a team to reach out to those people groups, which others can then link into if they share that concern. Thirdly, sometimes we may be able to put on events as a church to which everyone can invite others to. For example, Alpha Course, beginning this Tuesday, or the introductory meal this Tuesday. Is it something you need to come to? Is it something that you know someone who you could invite to come to? We will put it on, but it's available to you to be used in whatever way. We've had the jellyfish man. Do you remember the jellyfish man? He was a bit wobbly, but there you are. The Watoto Children's Choir. Carol services. Back to Church Sunday. A Christian comedian. Etc., etc. These are things that we can put on and that we can each link into. And fourthly, there are times when it's right to plant something new. To do something different. At times it may be right to take a larger group of people that have a concern, either for a particular group of people or a particular, or for people in a particular geographical area where we feel they may not have an effective Christian witness. And we may plant something new. Plant a church, which will, or a meeting, which will have a specific focus on reaching those for Christ who are in that specific people group or geographical area. Of reaching them with the good news of Jesus. Whatever we do, however we do it, the church must go. As in every member. So tomorrow morning, you are a missionary in the place that you will be going to tomorrow. You are a witness for the Lord Jesus. That we can form teams of people. We can do events. Times there might be the right thing to plant something new. Whatever we do, we must go. Jesus said of himself, I have come. Talk about mission statements. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save the lost. We must go. You're going to hear more about this as things unfold over these next weeks and months. But we want to ask this morning, can you share that vision for your own life as well as the life of the church? Will you share that vision of growing and going? Would you say it again with me? Grow and go. Growing into Christ, maturing in Christ, not being content with where you are today. Yes, God accepts us as we are today. But he doesn't want us to remain like that. He wants us to grow into maturity. Growing into Christ and going in order to take him to others. One more, James. Come, follow me. What does it mean for you and me to follow Jesus with the whole of our lives? Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men.
You can leave a comment on today's sermon over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. That's also the place where you can find a link to that Radio 4 interview. Remember, the interview with Les Isaacs starts at 14 minutes in. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.